Please make this word alive to us this morning. Speak to us about grace and truth. And Lord, even set people free today who have been trying to work their way to you, Lord. Move by your Holy Spirit and bless us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Previously, we ended with, the just shall live by faith. Great words. That was part one. We're saved by faith. We believe in our Christian faith. We live by faith. We walk by faith in God and his promises. We continue today in Paul's encouragement and exhortation to the churches in Galatia to stand in the faith in Jesus Christ, God's grace for salvation. Judaizers, false teachers, were creeping into the church there, teaching that one had to be under the Mosaic law, be circumcised, in addition to Jesus and their new life. It was adding law to grace. You can't add law to grace. You can't add anything to grace. And they were adding to it, and they don't mix. One is saved by grace through faith and saved for good works. The whole thing is that Paul's trying to get across that Jesus didn't come to patch up the old covenant through the law, but to bring in the new covenant, which we're going to celebrate on the first Sunday of the month. We remember that new covenant. And that's what he's sharing with them. Don't go back to the old and add the old to the new. Here's the way I look at it. Grace and works. If you give someone a gift, a present, and they receive it and they're all excited about it, and at the end of it all, before they leave and go back home, you say, and because of that, I want you to come and paint my house next week. You go, why did you give me this gift? You see, a gift is a gift. It's just grace from God because he loves us, and you can't add to it. You don't work for it. And verse 12, we pick it up. Yet the law is not of faith. The Mosaic law, he says, that's not coming to God by faith, but the man who does them shall live by them. That law was not a matter of faith. The law, the Mosaic law, the Ten Commandments. What they said was, do this, don't do this, do this. And people were counting on that to get right with God. But the Bible tells us the law couldn't really save anyone. What is the reason for the law? Why were we given the law of Moses? Why were they given the law of Moses? Well, you're going to have to come back next week because we're going to finally get to that next week when Paul covers that. So you got to be hanging right now because people think, well, then what do I do once I'm a Christian? You know, how do I live? Do I still obey those things? You know, or can I go out and murder this person that I can't stand because of grace? No, we're saved by grace for good works. When we realize how much God loves us, that he sent his son to die for us, and we're born again, we receive Jesus as our Lord and Savior. We love the Lord. We love Jesus. And we respond in our Christian walk because of love, not because we have to. My wife doesn't say, Jim, you've got to love me today. And you've got to do this for me and that for me. She doesn't have to do that. Why? Because I love her. And we have a love relationship and not a legal relationship. Under the law, it was all legal. But that means we still obey these things that God tells us to do and not do. But it's just supernaturally, I can't say natural because it's supernatural because of the Holy Spirit in us that we can do these things and love that way. I never knew what real love was till I found the Lord in my life. And we were married for a while before we both received the Lord. And I was one of those guys that would say, I'll die for my wife. And I probably would have, no doubt would have. But once I received the Lord in my life, I found there's a deeper love, an unconditional love. The Lord's not asking me to die for her or for him or anybody. He's asking me to live for her and live for him. Some people find it harder to live for someone than to die for someone. Just give your life over to them. That's what the Lord wants. That's what he wants. That's the kind of relationship he wants. He wants our love. That's why he so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. This new covenant with God was all based on God giving to us. And we're going to see that as we've been covering Abraham. He didn't ask Abraham to do anything when he told Abraham that he would bless the nations through him. God created the covenant. He was the initiator, and it was without asking Abraham to do anything except believe. That's why this whole message is on just live by faith. We just believe it. We believe it all. You see, the law requires works and teaches, we went over this last week, you have to do it all. They were teaching you have to do it all and be saved. That's pretty tough. Because even if you broke it 10 years ago, you didn't do it all. And that stain of sin is on our soul. But God created a way for that stain to be removed. Sometimes when you go out to eat, you put on a shirt for the first day and bam, there's a stain of food or drink on it. Anybody else here have an eating disorder? I have an eating disorder. I mean, I do at least 2 shirts a week. And you know, it gets on there. And here's the weird thing. They have all these things on the market that'll take out stains. And my wife will say, but it won't take out that. Well, then what is it all about if it won't take that out? They ought to come out with something that'll take everything out. And so you're bummed out. That stain of sin, it's gone. Isn't that great? You might look in the mirror tomorrow morning and say, yuck, I've been horrible. What a wretch. God, how can you love me? God says, unconditionally. Because you received Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I love you. Wow. When you realize that, you love him back. You don't have to go to church. You don't have to read the Bible. You don't have to pray. You don't have to worship. You want to. When you're a born-again Christian, you want to, when you understand love, when you understand real love. You know, as we studied last time, the Bible writes, one must observe the whole law, because if you break one point of it, you're a lawbreaker and you break it all. So you're either a lawbreaker or not a lawbreaker. There's not this law and that law. Well, you can break this law, but it's not okay to break this. It's, you either break it or you don't. If you lied, you lied, period. That's it. You committed murder, you committed murder. That's it. Both are lawbreakers in God's eyes. Disqualified. Wow. You'd have no hope of going to heaven because corruption can inherit incorruption. What would we do? But God provided a way. Faith in Jesus is our hope. For the vilest of sinner on this earth, if they are hearing the message of salvation and they are repentant, they understand it, and they ask God for forgiveness and receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, they will be saved. And some people say, not fair. I've been good for 25 years in serving the Lord and this and that. I say it's fair because it's grace and God paid the price. The thief on the cross, Jesus said, today you'll be with me in paradise. He didn't have any time to do any good works. I'll bet he wanted to on that cross. Oh, Lord, if I could ever get off of here, I'll serve you. But grace, his faith, got him there. You see, faith in Jesus is our hope. The difference between law and faith, or works and faith, is the law says, do it all and you will live. Faith says, believe and live. Believe and live. We're all sinners and therefore cursed, destined for punishment. That's how we start out. We're guilty. Remember Galatians 3, verse 10? For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse, for it is written, cursed is everyone who does not continue in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. You have to do it all that God gave you. And we went over that last week. There were hundreds of laws. People think of when God handed the law down to Israel that there were the Ten Commandments. No, there were hundreds of other laws, dietary laws, worship laws, sacrificial, all kinds of laws. You know, he says, you have to do them all. No one does. Christ, so when we read verse 15, you know, verse 12, hey, you have to live by them all. But the good news is Christ has redeemed us. I love that verse, don't you? Christ has redeemed us. In your lowest point of the day or your lowest moment in life as a Christian, when you feel totally unworthy, when you feel far from God, when you feel you haven't done anything, just remember Galatians 3:13, the first part. Christ has redeemed me. Christ bought me. I gave my life to him. My sin is washed through the blood of the Lamb. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. How did that happen? Because he took the penalty for us. The price that I was going to have to pay, eternal separation from God in the lake of fire. God said, I sent my son Jesus to take your place. If you so choose, if you by faith believe it and accept him to be your sacrifice, he will be it. He became a curse for us, for as it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. Christ has redeemed us. He bought us to set us free. Isn't that great? In those days, they would buy slaves, but the master that bought them would just put them into, the whole nation of Israel was in slavery to Egypt. But slaves were bought to just be put in bondage under another master. It didn't really free them. It just gave them another boss. This word redeemed means he bought us to set us free. We just follow Jesus. He's our master. And what a good master, isn't he? He's a lot better than any master you'll have on this earth. Christ redeemed us. Because he became a curse for us and he hung on the curse for us and paid for that penalty of sin. He redeemed you and I. The curse of the law is death. That's what they would talk about when he said you're cursed. It meant death. My sin fell on my substitute, Jesus. The day I believed, he already paid for it, but the day I accepted him into my life, it became real for me. Because I said, yes, I want you to be my sacrifice. I always put it this way. Say you commit a crime and you're guilty. Witnesses, you know you're guilty, and you go to court. And the judge says, how do you plead? Well, I'm guilty. So the judge says, okay, the penalty is going to be 3 years in jail or a $250,000 fine. You say, okay, guilty, go ahead. And just then, before he pounds that gavel down, someone walks into the courtroom and says, wait, I love this man and I've got $250,000 and I'll pay for him. Now, if you're smart, if you're the guilty one and you're smart, you would say, okay, I want to go home. And if you're not smart, as the Bible says, if you're foolish, you'll say, what's the catch? It can't be that easy. What am I going to have to do? No thanks, I'll go to jail. That's foolish. See, that's what Jesus did. We're guilty, but the Lord knocks on the door of our heart. And in order to get your sin paid for by his sacrifice, I have to say, I believe that. And I want him as my substitute, my atoning sacrifice, in my life. And so I asked the Lord into my life by faith, and I now follow Jesus. I'm free. My sin is washed away because it's paid for. That's why they call it justification, just as if it never happened. Isn't that great? We do a lot of bad things in life. Let's face it. Especially if you came to the Lord later in life. You look back at your life and say, oh man, I wish I would have come to the Lord earlier in life. Given my life to Jesus. Look at the mess I've caused in my life and for other people. And you can't go back. You can't say erase it. But when God says he justifies us and forgives us our sin, it's washed out of our record like we never did it. Isn't that great? Because it's hard living with some things. You feel guilty about them. There is no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus that walk in the Spirit. That's what the Bible says. So if Satan ever gets in your head and he says, what do you mean you're going to church today, this Sunday? Who do you think you are, some goody-goody? You're a wretch. You know you're a wretch. You don't deserve to be there. Stay in bed. You know you're not saved. And he can get into your head and believe all, and you can get to believe all kinds of lies. Just remember this. Christ redeemed me. I'm free. Get out of here, Satan, in the name of Jesus. I'm clean. He casts our sin as far as the east is from the west. And east and west never meet. North and south do, but east and west never meet. It's gone. Isn't that great? We're justified. Let's turn to 1 John chapter 2, please. First John chapter 2. Verse 1 and 2. My little children. Don't you love the way John talks about the believers? My little children. This older saint, can't you just imagine that? Thinking about the church. Oh, my little children. These things I write to you that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate, someone that comes alongside of us. Comes to us. We have an advocate, and that's with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And he himself, no one else, nothing else, is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the whole world. And he that receive him will be saved. He's the propitiation for our sins. You know what that word means? Atoning sacrifice. He's the atoning sacrifice for our sins. The only one. That's why there is no other way. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and life. There is no other way you can be made right with God. Because he is the one, the propitiation that came alongside. And the atoning, you know, the atoning sacrifice, the advocate and the atoning sacrifice for our sin. The price for sin has to be paid. It must. Because God is just and holy. He can't look down and say, oh, but you're a nice person. I think I'll forget all your sin and let you get into heaven. That would be unfair. It would have meant that Jesus died on the cross for nothing. You see? Like we read earlier, then it would mean Jesus died in vain. But he didn't. God says there is no other way. Your sin has to be paid for because I'm just. When God says to you, you're going to heaven because you received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you can believe that because God's word doesn't change. You're going to go to heaven. Isn't that great? You can believe all the promises of God because God does not lie, the Bible tells us. And he also doesn't lie when he says sin must be judged. So he created this way to be just and judge righteously by having an atoning sacrifice pay that debt. I'm so glad he did so that I can go to heaven and you can go to heaven. I'll see you there. He paid the penalty, the curse for my sin. It fell upon him. He bore all my sins on that cross. He purchased me. I received that. He set me free. It is written, verse 13, accursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. Let's turn to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 21, please. The book of Deuteronomy, chapter 21, verse 22 and 23. It tells us here, this is what the law said. If a man has committed a sin deserving of death, and he is put to death, and you hang him on a tree, his body shall not remain overnight on the tree, but you shall surely bury him that day, so that you do not defile the land which the Lord your God is giving you as an inheritance. For he who is hanged is accursed of God. Whoever hangs on a tree was accursed of God. You see, the Jews stoned criminals to death. That was their common way of killing people, the penalty. But in shameful cases, they would hang them on a tree for all to see, great humiliation for serious cases. Then they were taken down and buried. Well, let's turn to Isaiah 53, please. Isaiah 53, verse 5 and 6. Speaking of Jesus, years before he was, hundreds of years before he was even born, we read the prophecy in Isaiah. But he, speaking of the Messiah, Jesus, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. He didn't do anything wrong. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed spiritually. All we like sheep have gone astray. I think we can say amen. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He laid all the sin on Jesus. That's why we'll read Good Friday when Jesus was on the cross. He cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He felt the sin of all of us on himself and the separation from the Father. Paying for sin. That's how much he loves you. Christ was hung on a tree. Just like it says, everyone in Deuteronomy, everyone is cursed that hangs on a tree. That Hebrew word is zulon. It means timber or wooden article. And he died on that. Now, Romans 8, verse 3, if you'd like to turn there, please. Romans 8, verse 3. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, we could never be made righteous by obeying the law, we break it. God did it by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh on account of sin. He condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. The requirement was fulfilled by Jesus dying in our place. Let's turn to the book of 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. And maybe you're saying, Nick, this week I'm going out and buy those indexes for every book of the Bible. 1 Peter chapter 2. And we do go through a lot of scripture. 1 Peter 2 verse 24. Speaking of Jesus, who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. You see, he bore our sins when he hung on that tree. And as he died, we died to our sin. And now we're to live righteous in Christ. So back to our text, Galatians 3. Christ redeemed us. Now, verse 14 carries over from verse 13, where Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Why? Verse 14, so that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles, you and I, non-Jews, in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. He did that so that we would receive the blessing that God gave Abraham years before the law, we Gentiles, so that we in Christ Jesus can receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. We can receive those blessings and the Holy Spirit that comes with salvation because Jesus is the way now. He died on the cross for our sins. And when we receive him, we are indwelt with the Holy Spirit and our sin is forgiven. We're blessed. Jesus died so that Jew and Gentile could receive the blessings that God promised Abraham way back in the beginning, hundreds of years before Moses in the law. He gave Abraham the promise in Genesis 12. Remember that? Let's turn to Genesis chapter 12. In Genesis 12, verses 1 to 3, here's the promise that God gave Abraham. His name is still Abram. He changed it to Abraham later on. This is when God told him, get out of this land that you're living in, Mesopotamia. It'd be the area of Iraq today. He says, get out of there. It's given to idol worship, not a good area. Leave your family, get out of there. Go to this new land. I'm going to take you to this place and make a great nation of you. And Abraham obeyed, and he left with a few people, as we read. And the Lord said to Abram, chapter 12, get out of your country, from your family, from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great. That's all great for Abraham, isn't it? That'd be nice to leave knowing God's promising, man, you're going to be great. I'm going to make you a great nation. This is going to be a great place. All right. But then he goes on to speak about others. And I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you. I will curse him who curses you. That's why we stand by the nation of Israel as a country. We believe that God will bless those who bless them and curse them who curses them. And in you, Abram, in that nation of Israel, and in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Through you, all the people in the world shall be blessed. So what is it about Abraham? Well, we know it was his faith. He says, in you, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed through Abraham's seed. And Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith, he tells us in verse 14. After studying this, you know, that we're justified by faith, we'll be blessed, we'll receive the Holy Spirit just by believing as Abraham did, which we went over last week. How could these Galatians ever want to go back? How would they want to go back after knowing that this is what God said, they're set free now, and this is what they have? Well, I wonder today, how can people who hear the word of God, hear the message we're sharing today about the grace of God and forgiveness of sin, how can they go back to the world? Because they like darkness more than light. Were they really truly born again? I don't think so. You see, people can backslide, but God brings them back. He says, repent, remember, and return in the book of Revelation. Hey, you know, if a person's fallen away, and if you're here today, and I don't want to suggest anyone is, but if you have, and it seems kind of miserable for you, and life is, you know, doesn't seem right because you feel distant from God, and things just aren't going right, and you don't seem to be hearing anything, like the Bible says, repent. Ask God to forgive you and turn from it. And the next thing is, remember, he says. Remember what? What we're talking about here. That's what Paul's trying to tell these people. Remember what you had or have. You have freedom in Christ. Your sins are washed away. You're not guilty. And you have all the promises of God. Like Matthew 6:33. You know, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And God says, I'll add all these other things to you, the affairs of life. You don't have to carry burdens. I'll provide for you. I'm your father. I'm your dad. And I love you. But you have to seek me first. He says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. And don't lean on your own understanding. Just acknowledge me and I'll direct your paths. I'll direct you in life. It's just saying, get back to me. Walk with me. Acknowledge me. Trust in me. I will provide for you and I will take care of you. Why would people turn from that? Because we have this adversary, Satan, walking around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he can devour today. And there's a lot of evil out there. But greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. When we see temptation or get these thoughts, we've just got to say, get out of here, Satan, in the name of Jesus. I know it. I've been redeemed by the precious blood of the Lamb. I've got life. And I know I'm going to heaven. I know when I lay down tonight, it doesn't matter what happens. If I die, I won't really die. I'll just move to a better bed. Won't even need sleep, actually. I'll be in heaven with the Lord. Isn't that wonderful? It's great to not worry. Jesus said, just take care today. Don't worry about tomorrow. Why do we have a hard time with that? Don't trust God? Probably. We'd hate to say that as Christians, wouldn't we? I don't trust God. But it's probably true in a lot of cases. We trust God. We believe in God. We have to have faith. We, just like the message says, we just live by faith. He's done so much for us. Why would it go back to anything else or to the world? Well, you know the answer. Galatians 3, verse 1, the way he started out. He says, oh, foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed among you as crucified? I spoke to you about Jesus. It was like painting a picture for you. Who's bewitched you? And we went over that a few weeks ago. The enemy. That word bewitched means like cast you under a spell, deceive you, get your mind changed. It's the enemy. It's because we get foolish in our thoughts and we get bewitched and we get caught on in the world or legalism or religion or other things. You see, the law loves legalism and religion. It appeals to the flesh, you know. The flesh loves to feel religious and spiritual, so it loves to find things that I can do so then I feel like I deserve it. There's something in us like that. You know, if I can light a candle or chant a prayer or do some meditation or do these works, it's like, oh, I feel good about myself. And God's saying, yeah, but you're wretched, you poor sinner. You need Jesus. You need my grace, that's all. But doesn't the flesh like to feel I had a part in it? Everything we do in life, we like to feel we had a part in it. You know, you do something, God gives you the power to do it. People help you out, you get it done. And then people are giving another person credit. What's your first thought? Well, I had a part in this. How come they're not thanking me? They didn't even thank me or send me a note. Do you ever feel like that? The flesh loves that. Man, and when somebody doesn't give it back, even though we'll say, well, I did it for the Lord. And then say, so but you can thank me if you want, you know. We're trying to find a neat way to say, it was all the Lord, but you know, I did do something. There's no nice way to say it. That's why we just keep it in our heart. But God sees it. Who has bewitched you? You see, but the law loves that, to feel like we deserve something. Just have truth. The problem with these people is, or that rely on that is, they're going to have to face God one day and base their entrance in heaven on how good they were. And they're not going to win that argument before God, because he's going to say, no, you didn't take care of the sin. You got to have Jesus in your life as your atoning sacrifice, or your sin is still there. And they'll be defending themselves, but I've heard it said, he who defends himself has a fool for a lawyer. And that's the way it is, right? Well, why then did God give the law? And as I said, we're going to do it next week. We're not going to finish the verses today. We're going to cover next week, but we've got to flow with the Spirit of God. Make sure we understand this. Salvation and faith is the most important part of what we believe in. That's why we're covering this slowly, because we have to get it planted in. Because out there, there's a lot of attack today and a lot of different things to believe in and false doctrine. We need to be grounded in our faith and know that Christ has redeemed us, and we're blessed. God, thank you so much for your word and for freedom in Christ. And we thank you that today we can receive communion and remember how we were saved, how we are blessed. It's all because of your gift of Jesus Christ. And as we receive communion, it's remembering the body and blood of Jesus Christ given up for us so we could live. It's for Christians. We are to examine ourselves. Because if we're not a Christian, we're really not celebrating this at all. But we want all of you to celebrate. We pray that all of you are believers. And I'm going to just say a prayer. You can mean it in your heart. Lift it up to the Lord. And you can become a born-again Christian today if you're not. It's just acknowledging you're a sinner, that you believe all that we've said here today, that Jesus came and died for you on the cross to take all that sin and pay for it. And then you have to repent, which means turn from it and follow him. And personally ask him into your life. So I'm going to say a prayer, but it isn't the words or the prayer. It's the meaning in your heart. God sees the heart. And if you mean this in your heart, if you're ready, the Spirit has spoken to you, and you're ready to receive Christ as your Lord and Savior, give your life over to him. Give him the pink slip. Let him drive and take over. You will be forgiven. You will be blessed. But you must mean it. You can just say something like this. Dear God in heaven, I am a sinner. And I am sorry for sinning against you. Please forgive me. I believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross for me. And I believe on that cross, he paid for all my sin with his death and his blood. And I personally now ask Jesus to come into my life and make me a new person and fill me with your Holy Spirit. How wonderful, Lord, that I can have a fresh start, be born again. I pray that I will understand your word, that you will teach me how to live, and I will now walk that new life in Christ. Thank you, God, for forgiving me and writing my name in your book of life. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.